Well, good morning to you. Welcome in, North Central Church family, and happy Mother's Day. My name is Dan. It's my honor to serve as pastor here at this North Central Church family, and it's an honor to have you with us for a series that we call Social Undistancing. Right? Pretty soon, our social distancing is going to be undistanced, and then we are going to be back together. And we already know that when we're back together, there's a problem. And the problem is that we don't naturally get closer or go deeper in our top five essential relationships. So just because we're socially undistanced soon, God willing, it doesn't mean that we're going to dive deeper and get closer in our most essential relationships with myself, with my spouse, with my kids, my parents, and my neighbors. So we need God's wisdom and we need God's power to help us get closer and go deeper in these relationships. So today we're going to look at social undistancing with my parents. How do we get closer and go deeper with mom and dad? So Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to you. I don't have for you specifically a Mother's Day message, Mom. This message is not going to be to you, but I already know it's going to be for you. So I hope that's okay with you. The way we relate to our parents, as you know, as an adult, if you have adult parents, you're an adult with adult aging parents, that the relationship we have with them changes over time. I mean, it's probably true. If you haven't lectured your adult parents, your senior citizen parents, in this virus epidemic, if you haven't lectured them yet about the dangers of going outside, you may be neglecting them. Do I need to give you a curfew? Do I have to ground you? This relationship with our parents changes over time. There was a time where they were telling you what to do and then you did what you want. Now we tell them what to do and they do what they want. It's evolving over time. It's all changing. It comes full circle. And as my parents aged and beyond their need for everyday health care, I started to think that I needed something, that I no longer needed something from them, but I actually started to think in terms of what do they need from me? I want something for them, not just from me. This led to a conversation with a family therapist. When my mom started to age into some real extreme difficulties with emotional health and mental health and physical health, our family ended up with a family therapist. And when we got to my turn, I said, I just want to do the right thing. I'm distressed because I don't want to just do anything for her to help her. I want to do the right thing. And the therapist said, oh, you've got a religious barrier. And I said, well, what's a religious barrier? What does that mean? You're distressed because you believe there's just one right thing to do for your mother. And I thought to myself, I could think of a million things not to do for her. But she said my distress was the belief, the religious belief that I had that there was one right way to care for my mom. And it is the first time I ever thought that that would be distressing to want what's right for my mom, the one thing that's best for her. And the good news is that we don't have to guess what's the right way to treat mom. What's the right way, what's the best way and right way to treat dad? How do we treat our parents? And in my young life, I wanted something from my parents, car keys, gas money, maybe a ride somewhere. But in my adult life, it became more and more pressing in my own heart that I wanted something for them, not something from them. And we don't have to guess what it is. Here's the question that we're going to answer today. How has God designed us to relate to our parents? In what way did he make us, and what does he need from us for our parents? He doesn't make us guess. He actually describes that to us. What wisdom and what power has he given us to get closer and go deeper in our relationship with our parents? What does mom need from her kids? Now, beyond cuddly, life-changing hugs and kisses, beyond that, beyond our affection, what does mom need from her kids? What do our parents need from their children? And here's what God describes to us in several passages of Scripture. We're going to be in Ephesians today. But here's what he describes to us. He says, what we learn is that God has designed us to love our parents with obedience and to thank them with honor. So in the Bible, in the Scriptures, there's descriptions from God as to how to have wisdom, how to use his wisdom to get closer to mom and dad and to go deeper with mom and dad. And what he tells us is this: you can love them with your obedience and you can thank them with your honor. Now, you kids who are watching, last week, I know, not quite as easy to tune in considering you probably aren't married if you're a child living in your parents' home. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true for everybody, which is fine. But for the kids, you kids who are living at home with mom and dad, what way can you best love your mom outside of the beautiful flowers that you've probably given her already this morning, hopefully, besides the heartfelt homemade card, besides besides the art class sculpture that probably hit home when you delivered it to her, besides the homemade crafts and the sweets, She may not be able to tell you to your face, but she would trade all of that in, all the flowers, all the sweets, all the crafts, all the cards. She'd probably be willing. Now, I don't want to speak for you, Mom, so if this isn't true, take time after the message and tell your kids, I want all that, forget what he said. It's okay to do that. Here's what I think that, I'm going to speak for you for a second. I think that our moms would take all of that and they would trade it in for just a dose of obedience from the child. Just a little obedience. She'd trade it all in. And the Scriptures teach us that in the Christian household, it is the basic building block for all of society and all of culture, and even in the church at Ephesus, Paul and Peter are building the local church. And here's what they're saying. A foundational building block is the obedience of children expressed to their parents. And the way that we love them is with our obedience. Here's what he says in Ephesians. Children, obey your parents, because don't turn off your device. Don't switch off your computer screen. Don't accidentally hit that remote and shut it all off. Listen, here's what the Scriptures teach you as a child. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your mother and father. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on earth. So the starting point, the building block for this is this: love your parents with your obedience. You can do all the other things, all the other affection, all the other expressing yourself, all of the other servant love kind of things. But the Scriptures say what your parents need the most from you when you're expressing your love, if you're still in the home and you're still under their authority and you're still under their roof, here's what the God who created you has given you instructions on how to love them best. Love them with your obedience. Children, obey your parents. And this is a building block. And this word obedience means listen under. It means to hear underneath, to subordinate yourself to someone who has spiritual authority over you. It means hearing underneath their wisdom and underneath their covering. Proverbs says it this way. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom from one of the wisest leaders who's ever lived on the planet, a collection of wisdom. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect, don't forget, don't ignore, don't sideline and marginalize your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace, and it'll be a chain of honor around your neck. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Now, if my mom were still alive to hear this, she would be nudging her kids. She'd be waving things, amen, amen, because moms and dads know how important this is. And I hope this lands with some of our kids as to how important this is. When you're out of the house, your adult relationship obviously changes. When you're out of the house and you're on your own and now you have your own authority in your own home, there's a change in relationship. And the change is this. Now, we don't love them with obedience, right? We're not obeying our parents when we're out on our own, out from under their covering and with establishing our own authority. Instead, we get to thank them. Well, how do we thank them? We don't just have them over and buy them something for a gift or treat them to a meal. There's all those ways that we can love our parents who are adults when we're adult children. But here's the way the scriptures say, thank your parents with your honor. Honor your mother and father. Give them honor. What does that mean? Well, here, let me try to capture it for you. It means a respectful attitude. And primarily what that means is giving your adult parents proper attention and authority. It means honoring them with an attitude of courtesy and yieldedness and value. It is a respect that says, even though I'm not getting instructions from you, I value you. I lift you up and I recognize that there is weightiness to who you are in my life. And this is how we express honor. We give them appropriate attention and appropriate authority. There's a weight given to our adult parents. Here's how you'll find it in the other parts of the scripture in Leviticus. Each of you must show great respect for your mother and father. It's essential. It's a bottom line. It's a building block. Show great respect. Then listen to your father who gave you life and don't despise your mother when she's old. No matter what she's, the misfirings in your relationship, no matter the bumps and bruises that have taken on because of her own and his own flaws and failures, don't despise your mother when she's old. Instead, give her honor, proper authority and value and attention, and elevate them with weightiness in your life. Now, Paul is quoting in Ephesians one of the Ten Commandments. And the one of the Ten Commandments that he is quoting here is in Exodus chapter 20. And he says, honor your father and your mother, then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord, the land that he is giving you. And each of you must show respect. Now, there's two reasons that we learn in this text that we should express obedience and honor to our parents. Two reasons, really quick. I'm going to show them to you. Number one is this. Number one is you belong to the Lord. So you're not somebody who's operating independently. In fact, if you're a child who's living at home with your parents, it's impossible to belong to God and obey him without obeying your parents. How about that one? It's impossible. You can't call yourself a believer submitted to God and not be submitted to your parents at home. It's impossible to obey God while disobeying your parents. Because you belong to the Lord, you do this, for this is the right thing to do. It's a piece or a part of your submission to Jesus himself. And responsible members of a congregation are living in a divinely ordered relationship with God and with their parents. Now, if you honor your father and your mother, here's another reason to obey your and honor your parents. Secondly, you will improve and extend your life. Your life will get better, and the scriptures say that your life has the potential, the increased potential to be longer. Imagine, by loving our parents with obedience and by thanking them with honor, we have the power to actually upgrade our lives and extend our lives. Things will go well for you, and you will live a long life on earth. Now, Paul is referencing the book of Exodus here. It's the commandments that the Hebrew culture built their homes on and built their culture on. And what he's explaining here in the Old Testament through these commandments is that if you are submitted to your parents, then you're going to go with them into the land of Canaan, and your life is going to get dramatically better. You're going to be with them when they finally land in the nation that God has given them, the territory of milk and honey and prosperity. And it should be noted here that this passage doesn't just mean then, it also means now. It's the same principle that you'll be with your parents as they prosper over time, and you'll be with them because you're submitted to them in your own obedience. And it's important for us to take a close look at what this looks like for people who are disobedient. So two reasons to obey and honor your parents in your positive angle. And then in contrast, if we look at the other side, if we look at what happens to the disobedient children and disobedient parents, keep this in mind. There's no, in the ancient culture, if you were a rebellious, disobedient child, in the ancient culture, persistently rebellious, persistently disobedient, persistently bringing dishonor to your parents, I got to tell you, in the ancient culture, there was no timeouts. I mean, nobody got a 3-second count in their life of rebellion and disobedience. In the ancient culture, somebody who was persistently rebellious and disobedient was sentenced to death for dishonoring their family name and for dishonoring their parents. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but that's just mind-boggling for the culture that we live in, contrast to the culture that we live in. The scriptures say in Deuteronomy, a son who persistently disobeyed his parents and persistently dishonored his parents' name was to be stoned. It's amazing under that threat that in the hearts of children, young and old, there was still rebellion and still disobedience. How will your life be improved and how will it be extended? Look at this. Kids, I'm going to give you if you're a child and you're living in at home, I'm going to give you some free life coaching. Okay, this is potentially going to help you for some lifelong success. Here's what you learn through obedience at home. You learn submission to authority. Everything you're going to need in the future to submit to people who are over you, in charge of you, your boss, any official who has the authority to correct or coach your behavior, you learn it at home. You learn to submit to authority. It forms the basic stability of your life to function well within the expectations of your family, in your church, and in society. Also, self-discipline. Self-discipline. You start with submission to authority, and then obedience to your parents actually builds in you self-discipline. Now, I just have spent the last 5 weeks or so with two young male children living on top of each other in the room, and here's what I can assure you. Self-discipline is not a natural impulse. Self-discipline, for most, are taught and trained through the parents as you learn to submit yourself in obedience to them. It develops individual productivity and some self-reliance. Next, it provides loving devotion. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says that your obedience is actually a fruit, okay? It's a sign. Your obedience is the evidence. Your obedience is actually an expression of your love. I know that you want to express your love with warm feelings and some heartfelt words and maybe a Hallmark card that you paid $6 for and you open it up and it sings or it flowers or whatever. But here's what Jesus says, that I know, he says, who belongs to me. I know who loves me. How does he know that? He said, because they obey me. Look at these verses. This is what Jesus says. John records these and he's explaining what Jesus said. Those who accept my commandments and obey them, they're the ones who love me. Anyone who doesn't love me, what happens to them? The people who don't love Jesus, they don't obey him. He said they don't even obey me. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. See, in your obedience, there's an expression of love. And in your submittedness to Jesus, there's an expression of love. In your submittedness to your parents, there's an expression of love. Now, your dishonor and your disobedience has some consequences. Your dishonor and disobedience towards your parents is a sign of your lack of discipline, right? We already mentioned that and talked about that. It's a sign also of potential future poverty. But I want to highlight that. Actually, Proverbs says, without obedience, young people run wild and their lives are reckless and the outcomes are dangerous. Now, I want to kind of tune in here to this part because this is fascinating. And I think you're going to notice with me here that this is a real shocker when you read how God views our disobedience and rebellion against authority, or specifically our parents. Check this out. This is a sign. Disobedience and dishonor is a sign of depravity. The scriptures describe in the end days, there's going to be some terrible, unthinkably depraved behavior, and it's going to come from rebellious people. Now, brace yourself and lean in and look at this list. I want you to tune into this list. This is Paul writing to the church at Rome, and he's talking about how depraved the lives of people are who are far from God, separate from God. They're full of evil and wickedness. Check this out. Follow along with me. Their lives become full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder. Like, seriously, let's stop there. What's worse than that? How does it get any worse than that? Quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Is that enough? It's not enough. We're going to keep going. These rebellious people are backstabbers. They're haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. That's the end, right? How could you get any worse? No, it goes on. They invent new ways of singing. That too. They invent new ways of sinning. They just make it up. And keep this in mind, not only all that horrible, horrible behavior from their dark, depraved heart, but they're also, these are the kind of people who disobey their parents. I mean, these aren't people who are just naughty and they're being silly and they're kind of wildly independent and doing what they want. Paul is describing to the church that the most awful kinds of people on the planet started by their disobedience to their parents. Now, if you're a child, obviously Pastor Dan is not instructing you that this is what you're headed for. But here's what I want you to see. If you're a child submitted to God, it also means you're submitted to your parents. Moms, shout out to you for Mother's Day. God has leveraged the hearts of your kids to express their love to you, not just to God, but to you through their obedience. Otherwise, there is a sense of darkness, depravity, wickedness, and evil in the hearts of people who are so bad, at the beginning, they didn't even obey their parents. Paul goes on, for people will love, this is in the future, people who are separated from God and they're judged harshly, they have no faith in Jesus, they have no regenerated heart. What kind of people are they? These are people who will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. Can you believe this makes the list? I mean, it's incredible, and they're ungrateful. These people are disobedient, and they don't thank their parents. They're ungrateful to their parents, and they will consider nothing sacred. This is so vital, and this is so important for us to recognize that disobedience. Tune in here. Lean in. If you're today near your device, lean in closer. If you're near the flat screen, lean in a little bit closer. This is so vital. Here's what we learn. What we learn is that disobedience is a sign of death. That disobedience and dishonor leads to death. Our rebellion leads to our rejection, not just from our parents, but also from God. We are not fully repaired by just getting obedient, right? We don't fix our relationship with God by becoming suddenly obedient to God. And this is vital. Your obedience and honor for your parents, it will improve your present life, right? Things will go well with you and you'll extend your life, but Jesus' obedience to God improves your afterlife. So your obedience improves your life here, but Jesus' obedience actually upgraded and fixed and repaired your afterlife. Your obedience to God doesn't save you, Jesus' does. Your obedience and honor loves and thanks your parents, but Jesus' obedience saves your soul. While our obedience helps our earthly life go well, it was Jesus that made it possible for your eternal life to go well. Check this out. While the disobedience of man brought our brokenness and death, it was the obedience of Jesus that brought healing and brought life to us. Paul writes about it in Romans. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obey God, many will be made righteous. What does that mean? We'll have right standing with God because of Jesus' obedience, not because of yours. So in our obedience, we're not trying to fix our relationship with God. We fix our relationship with God by believing and receiving Jesus' obedience, his person and his work. We rest our trust and faith in him who humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. So we receive and believe this obedience to get right with God, and we do that today. You can do that today. So that your obedience to your parents helps your life here, but your obedience and following Jesus and trusting Jesus, his obedience to God, saves your soul for now and forever. So what should we do about this? What do we do? How do we react and respond to this? How can we all live this out together? The culture inside a Christian family should really celebrate and honor those who are aging better than any other culture. I mean, when you call somebody old man in this culture, it could be an insult. But did you know that in Greece, calling someone an old man is a term of endearment? Did you know that in Korea, there is such an elevated value of honoring old-aged people that their big birthdays are 60 and 70, and we kind of do ones and twos and 16. But in that culture, they say, no, the real honor should go to the aged who have wisdom and who have loved with their entire lives. And in China, it would be an insult to deliver your aging parent to some healthcare institution. It would be dishonorable for a family to do that. In fact, they would find great honor and do find great honor in taking care of their own parents in their own home. So this is vital. As a community of believers who belong to God in a faith family, who have God's wisdom and his power to get closer and go deeper with mom and dad, here's what we should be attentive to do. Don't wait for the eulogy. Obey and honor your parents today. You could do this every day instead of waiting. How many times, if you're like me, you may have been at the last several funerals thinking, this would be so terrific. Everything that someone is saying, I wish the person could hear it. I wish they could receive it. I wish they could be boosted and built up and strengthened by hearing this kind of honor. Well, we don't have to wait until the eulogy, because as believers in God's church and in God's family, we could express obedience and honor to our parents today, and we could express it every day. We don't have to wait until the funeral. We shouldn't wait until the funeral. I don't think any one of you would say, I want to hear from people who love me, my children, I want to hear how they think of me and what my legacy is, but I'm not going to be able to because I'll be dead and gone. If you had a choice, wouldn't it be so enriching to hear it now? So what does that mean? Really quick, three things. Submit to your parents' guidance as if it's coming from God himself. So if you're still in the home, you're still a child submitted, you're still a child living at home, submit to your parents' guidance as if God is leading you and loving you through them, because he is. And what does that mean? It means that we remind ourselves that God is providing to us through our parents. It means that God has made a promise to reward us, and it comes through obeying our parents. It means that we recognize that self-discipline is coming through our parents, and it's pruning our lives. It's pruning back, making our lives healthier as we get snipped and trimmed by our parents' correction and coaching. It also means that you're preparing to lead yourself. When you submit to the leadership and the love of your parents, it means that you're preparing to go off on your own and do things. Listen, don't forget, you'll be doing things your way a lot longer than, this is for my current male children still in my home. You'll get to do whatever you want for the rest of your life, so much more time than this time in the home. This is a short time that you're receiving from your parents. Number two, give your parents the same thing that you'll need from your kids, right? As you're considering yourself a child, maybe to your adult parents, give to your parents the same thing that you're desperate for from your own children. So what do you want from your own children, right? Other than their own obedience in the house? You want grace from them. right? My failures and my flaws, I'm desperately hoping and praying that you overlook them, that you give me grace because I'm failed and flawed myself. And I'm not correcting you because I'm perfect. I'm correcting you because God has given me this responsibility. So what does that look like? What does that look like? That means that you start to think and say things like this: my parents did the best they could with what they had. And they may have injured you. Your parents may have disrupted your lives. Your parents may have bruised you. They may have failed, and they may be so flawed that you have a sense in your own heart of neglect or abuse. Or you may feel like, listen, I'd have a whole different education. My parents stranded me uneducated. And here's what I'm hoping, that you would sense in your heart the need to think and say things like this: listen, they did the best they could with what they had. And that kind of grace is what we're hoping for from our kids. I hope that we're able to give it to our parents. You might say, well, you don't understand, Pastor, if you knew how my parents abandoned me, here's what I know for a fact: God never has and God never will. You have your Father in heaven, not the same, I get it. But fundamentally, God doesn't abandon us even when our parents do. And he gives us grace. We can give that grace to our parents. Lastly, tell them and retell them what they did right. Tell them and retell them what they did right. It's so easy for us as adult children to start all of our sentences about our parents by saying, they never, or you never, you always forgot to. One of my favorites from my kids is, you never let us watch all of these kids' shows. You never let us watch all of these children's cartoons. I've been profoundly sheltered by your parenting. Love that. Happy to hear that. I don't mind that one bit. Here's a great way, as you're aging and you become an adult, here's a great way to say it. We say to our parents more often, we tell them and retell them, I remember how you always, and we think of, this is how we honor them. This is how we thank them. I remember how you always, rather than saying, I remember how you never. And maybe, just maybe, this is a way to wedge this into your own heart and work this in your own heart. When we relate to our parents God's way, when we do this, we build healthier homes, we build healthier churches, and we honor God, we glorify the Father in heaven. Because we belong to him, we obey our parents. Because we belong to him, we give honor to them. It isn't because they deserved it. We do this as a culture. We do this as a people. We do this as an expression. So on our Mother's Day cards and our Mother's Day videos, may we be expressing to our parents, our mom today, I remember how you always, and I know that you did the best with what you had. And it's my prayer, my belief, and my hope that we increase and develop and deepen, and we have the wisdom and power to get closer to our parents and also to go deeper just like this. This is what God designed us for. He designed us to love our parents with obedience, and he designed us to thank them with more than our cards and sweets and goodies, but to thank them with honor, the way that we give them proper attention and authority. Let's pray together. I'm going to pray for you and your children and your parents. Father, today, we are very, very certain that you're at work in the hearts of children because you made them and you made them to love and thank with obedience and honor. You made us that way. You designed us that way. And today we ask that you would be at work in the heart of a child and that you'd bring grace to them to express that to the parents. You'd bring wisdom to them to express that under the care and submission of their parents at home. And God, I pray that you'd develop the North Central Church culture to be people who are submitted at home, and when we're out of the home, we're people of honor. And we're grateful. And that you would do this in order to build your great name, because you have made us to help bring fame to your great name. And this is how you want to do it at home in our relationship with our parents. We pray for those who've been dinged up, damaged, bruised, broken, shattered by the relationship with their parents, the neglect, the hurt, potentially the betrayal. whatever, however deep it is, God, we pray that you bring healing with your grace, that you would move in and take the place of that parent, and that you'd provide everything that they need as their Heavenly Father. We pray that you'd make it happen just as you always do, with gentleness and beauty and grace, and stir up forgiveness, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.